We'll read Genesis chapter 41 from verse 46. Genesis 41 from verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph left Pharaoh's presence and travelled throughout the land of Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced outstanding harvests. Joseph gathered all the excess food in the land of Egypt during the 7 years and placed it in the cities. He placed the food in every city from the fields around it. So Joseph stored up grain in such abundance, like the sand of the sea, that he stopped measuring it because it was beyond measure. Two sons were born to Joseph before the years of famine arrived. Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest at On or Heliopolis, bore them to him. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, meaning God has made me forget all my hardship in my father's house. And the second son he named Ephraim, meaning God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Then the 7 years of abundance in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in every country, but throughout the land of Egypt there was food. Extreme hunger came to all the land of Egypt, and the people cried out to Pharaoh for food. Pharaoh told all Egypt, "Go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you." Because the famine had spread across the whole country, Joseph opened up all the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. The whole world came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, for the famine was severe over all the earth. Well, friends, we're going to break from for the summer looking at the epistle of James. We've been looking at the letter of James for the last few months now. We're going to wait until September before we look at chapter 5. So I was just looking to the Lord for the word for today during the week. In my reading and in my meditation on various things, I just felt the Lord draw my attention to these two sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. And in a sense, what I want to bring is certainly more of an encouragement or more of a burden rather than a scriptural exposition. I just want to share something that I believe the Lord wants to bring to us this morning. But before I get to those two names, can I just take something a little bit different? Manasseh's name means causing to forget. Now, before we look at particularly that name, I want actually just to mention something marvellous about the Lord, which, if you know the Lord, you know as well as I do. But we need to be reminded of it, and that is that God has this marvellous ability to forget. Manasseh, his name, is to do with us forgetting things. But God is able to forget. And that word forget includes the idea of removing or putting away. And so when Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 34, just before the bit that Mark read to us today, says, "Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more," it doesn't mean to say that God has somehow absent-mindedly forgotten them, you know, and oh dear, oh yes, I've forgotten what Simon did, but later on I'll kind of remember. It's not that kind of absent-mindedness. God has put away sin. And not just by the sacrifice of his son. I mean, he has done that. He's dealt with our sin. He's dealt with your sin. He's dealt with your iniquity. But friends, he has got this ability to put it from his mind. Deliberately to put it away from his mind. And so that if the enemy comes along and says, because he's the accuser of the brethren, so if he comes along and says, "God, you know what Simon Wyatt was doing last week, do you?" The Lord says, "No. Please remind me. Well, I saw him doing blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah, and So the Lord says, right, well, I'm going to look at the books, because everything that you and I have ever done or said is written in a book, unless God blots it out of the book because of our confession and repentance. But so God looks at the book and he finds that a week ago, actually, there's nothing recorded. So God says to Satan, I don't know what you're talking about. Isn't that wonderful? God forgets, God puts it away, and God blots out from that book everything that you and I have done when we confess it and acknowledge it and repent of it. God has this marvellous ability to forget. And friends, just therefore consider when it says in Psalm 103 verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. Friends, that's what God has done. And it's not there sort of lurking in the background. Some of us have this idea that we feel that, you know, given half a chance, God will actually remember things again. When he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as I removed your sins from you, friends, it means it's impossible, because you can never get to an end from the east, from the west. North and south you can, but there is no end to the east and the west. Friends, it is, in a sense, it is impossible. I say, in a sense, there's one little caution I would give, and that is, there is a parable that Jesus told about a man who was unwilling to forgive his servant. The master had forgiven him, but when he was unwilling to forgive his servant, the master then remembered the debt. So we need to take a little bit of warning from that. God forgets. He can also choose to remember. But friends, it's only in that particular case. Otherwise, God puts away our sin from him. He forgets it completely. The problem is that you and I don't always forget. You and I remember. And that's really, I think, what this whole encouragement is about, these two names, Manasseh and Ephraim. There are two things that Joseph says about this name, Manasseh. He says, God has caused me to forget my toil, all my toil, first of all, and all my father's house. That's the second thing. Let's look at the first thing in particular. Actually, just let's think of the circumstances. Friends, do you need me to remember, to remind you? Perhaps you do, because maybe your memory, maybe you're forgetting things. Think of the story of Joseph. When he says, God has made me forget all my toil, what was some of the toil or the hardship that Joseph had to put up with? That word means a wearing effort and leading to anxiety. Actually means a little bit more than that. It's also evil, trouble or wickedness. It's a whole variety of things. And Joseph says, God has made me forget all these things. Well, just let's remind ourselves what he had to forget. He had to remember, he had to forget betrayal by his family. He had to forget being put down that pit. He had to forget being sold into slavery. He had to forget being falsely accused of adultery. He had to forget being thrown into prison with all the suffering that was going to involve. And then when he was imprisoned unjustly, the one hope that he had of getting out there disappeared from him. There was no hope at all, humanly speaking, in Joseph being able for his circumstances to be changed. And then what happened? Remember that it says in the psalm that the word of the Lord tried him. Iron came into his soul. And part of that iron, God began to use him and to give him those dreams. He'd had a few before, but now that calling was refined and channeled and controlled. All those things God now made him forget, and now God raised him up. Friends, it's easy for us to think that by a change of our circumstances, that everything will somehow be right. I mean, who would blame Joseph for thinking, well, if I could only get out of my prison, everything will be right. Now, God used the change of circumstances, of course he did. But friends, we need to understand this word Manasseh. Please would you look at it? Joseph says, God has made me forget. It's not simply my circumstances have changed. Have you understood that? You can have a change of circumstances, but you can still be thinking back. You can still be reminded of things, the pain of things, the pain of the rejection, the hurt, the betrayal, the false accusation, whatever it is that you have had to go through. And some of you, I don't know your past particularly well. But just by thinking, oh well, if I go to a new church, everything will be right. Or if I move house, everything will be right. Or, God forbid, as some have thought, if I marry somebody else, everything will be different. Friends, a change of circumstance will not deal with the problem. This testimony that Joseph has, and it can be your testimony as well, is that God can cause you to forget. The same God who puts things from his mind has got the ability to deal with our own forgettery, as somebody once called it. So what is Joseph saying here? What's his testimony? Is he saying that these things never happened? No, he's not saying that. Of course he's not saying that. And when his brothers come, something of the pain and something of the thing re-emerged again. So, you know, let's be realistic. It's not that somehow we're going to get such, oh, I did, some people call it down through years ago, healing of the memory, something that sort of somehow my memory, it won't, you know, I won't remember these things. No, friends, that's not what will happen. But what it is saying is that these things, though they may have impinged upon me in the past and affected me, is that they need not be a cause of pain and anxiety any longer. It is very similar, I think, to the prayer and the testimony of a gentleman called Jabez that some of you will have found in your reading through, if you read through your genealogies in 1 Chronicles, do you read through your genealogies? Not everybody does read through their genealogies. It is worth reading them. There's much to instruct us. And if you read through your genealogies, you will come across this little gem of a testimony about this man called Jabez. And his name means pain. I mean, how would you like to have been called that? I mean, think what he had to live with. His mother bore him with sorrow, it says. So I don't know whether he certainly had to live with a stigma. Every time his mother called him, he was reminded of the fact that either his mother didn't want him, or it was a difficult birth, or he'd been a troublesome child. I mean, poor guy. But do you know how he reacted? He said to the Lord, Lord, he said a number of things. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my borders. And then one or two other things. And the last thing he says, and that this pain would not grieve me. That this pain would not afflict me. That this pain would not rob me, literally. And friends, that is the marvellous thing. And God answered his prayer. So friends, I don't know what toil, what hardship you've been through. God can answer your prayer that whatever you have been through, maybe even this last week, or this last month, or the last couple of months, whatever it is, whatever this is a call, whatever cause of anxiety is for you, God can deal with you in such a way that it does not rob you, that it does not afflict you, that it does not affect you. And that God will bless you. Friends, this is our God. He causes us to forget. Well, how does he cause us to forget? I think the testimony, the way of it for each one of us will be very different in our experience. Because you are you and I am me. But here are just perhaps one or two things as they occur to me. Joseph is a type, that is a prefiguring of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph suffered, was rejected, falsely accused, etc. He went down into prison and Pharaoh raised him up to the highest position in the land next to himself. That is a prefiguring of what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course it is. Our Lord Jesus was suffered, was beaten, crucified, misunderstood, suffered more affliction than you and I will ever have to go through. And God raised him to the highest position of all. Hallelujah. And in Christ, which is where you and I are, if we are believers this morning, in Christ, you are seated with him. You are raised with him. So therefore, Joseph, who said, God has enabled me to forget all my toil, my hardship, can say to you as well, God can enable you to forget these things. The toil and the hardship are a thing of the past, or can be. You are in Christ. He has exalted you. He has raised you up. You're on a different plane, brother. You're on a different planet, sister. I know you are already. Many of you. Let's deal with the word planet. Friends, we're seated with him in those heavenly places. God can enable... Do you not think that God can enable you to forget? Do these things have to go on dragging you down, wearing you out, being a cause of anxiety? No, they don't. God can cause you to forget. Friends, what we need to do, it says in Colossians 3, you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If you then are raised up with him, set your affection on the things that are above. And this is really where the sort of the practical outworking of these things. Part of the way through, and as I said to you, the Lord's way for each one of us in our experience will be perhaps a little bit different. But the principle is here. If you've been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on what is above. And it's one of the strategies of the enemy to keep reminding you of your toil, of your hardship. So he puts into your mind, oh, do you remember that awful incident that happened last week? Oh, do you remember how so-and-so treated you? Do you remember how so-and-so did this or whatever? Do you remember what happened last year? And it's as if the enemy drags the thing up again and again and again. Now, friends, I'm well aware of the fact that sometimes, not always, but sometimes, there is a need for particular ministry from the Lord, and he is able to do that. The Lord is able to heal the brokenhearted. When you damage yourself in some way, and there is a wound, and you go to the hospital, God forbid, it'll take you hours, but you go to somebody and it's dug out and the uncleanness of the wound is dealt with. That's a painful business. But then it's bandaged up. And the Lord is able to remove the dirt, remove the muck. And then he bandages up. That's really what healing of a broken heart is all about. He's able to bandage up. And so you walk away from the hospital and you think, wow, I'm going to be better. Now, it's not better automatically. If leaving the hospital, you then undo the bandage, you're still left with a wound. You're still left with a scar and probably the stitches as well. So you understand that there is a process. It's going to take a little bit of time. And I'm not a medical man, so some of you will say, well, this is actually not how it works, because actually it needs to be exposed to the air. Well, I'm sorry, just go along with what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, because sometimes, you know, I mean, there is a hiding of these things. But, you know, sometimes what we do spiritually is that we undo the bandage and we have a jolly good look again at the wound. And we think, oh, I wonder how it's getting on. Oh, I wonder if that's going to get any better. Friends, leave it. Leave it covered. You are in Christ. And then when the bandage does come off, is there no evidence of the hurt and the wound? Yes, there is. There's a scar there. And that scar will probably stay with you for the rest of your life. The Lord Jesus is going to have two scars, one on his right hand, one on his left. That will be there for the rest of eternity. You'll be able to gaze upon them. I think. The scars are there. But friends, scar tissue is stronger than normal tissue, isn't it? I am right, I think. And so what he is saying is that the healing, the binding up, actually makes you stronger. Yes, you can be reminded of it. Joseph was reminded of his toil from time to time, but it wasn't an issue. And that's what I'm saying, friends. So if the Lord needs to minister to you, whether it's healing of a broken heart, deliverance to the captives, setting at liberty those whose lives are bruised, the Lord is able to do it. Hallelujah. But friends, recognizing that, the enemy comes along, going back to what I was saying before, and he just tries to remind us. So he puts into our minds the temptation, well, actually, why don't you undo the bandage? Or why don't you even open up the scar a bit? Or try and improve the stitching, or whatever it is. You can do it a bit better. Or he may say, why don't you go to this psychologist or this psychiatrist? He or she will be able to do a better job than the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, don't believe those lies. God can cause you to forget. God can cause that wound to be healed. The toil, the hardship need not be a problem for you. You are in Christ. Set your minds on what is above. And there's another aspect to that word. It also means set your affection. If you've got an authorized version, it means set your affection. It's not just your thinking, it's your emotions as well. So friends, the outworking of these things, quite honestly, is set your minds on the things that are above. Look to the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Think of what he has given you. And, I mean, Joseph called his first son Manasseh because instead of all the toil and the affliction, he was now Lord of all Egypt. He was responsible for taking in all this wonderful provision that God had given Egypt at this time. He got married and he got two sons. He got new relationships. He got a new start and a new future. And my friends, for some of you, the Lord is giving you a new start, a new future, a new hope, new things to do. God will enable you to forget. Sometimes toil, the hardship and the wounds can be inflicted by others. Sometimes it can just be through force of circumstances. But friends, set your mind, set your affections on those things that are above. The Lord never promises life to be trouble-free, but he does say that he's able to deal with anything where these things affect us. Well, that's the first thing that Joseph says. Manasseh means not just forgetting, but causing to forget. But he also says, forgetting all my toil and all my father's house. Friends, there are some important things here, I think. When you come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus says, if we're going to be followers of his, we need to hate. That's the word he uses, meaning at least putting second in our preference or our loyalties. Father, mother, wife, children, and his own life also. We need to hate these things. Put them second. On one occasion, the Lord said, there is nobody that has left all these things for my sake and the gospel's who will not in this life inherit fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters. I can't remember exactly where it is, what it is. Mark chapter 3 verses 34 and 35. You can look at it for yourself. My friends, the Lord is saying don't hanker after those earthly natural relationships. Now many of us thank God for them. We can thank God for a husband or a wife. We can thank God for children. We can thank God for friendships. We can thank God for parents. But, you know, the Lord's principle is that the will of God takes precedence over all those things. Who are the Lord Jesus' mother and brothers? He says, they are those who do the will of my Father. And so for some of us, friends, we need to forget our father's house. That is to say, we need to put earthly natural relationships second. Don't get so besotted with your wife or your husband that you get your eyes off the Lord Jesus. Don't put your trust in them. They will let you down sometime. My wife is still waiting for that for me. But sooner or later, they will let you down. Don't lean on them. Lean on the Lord. Do you remember what the Lord said to Abraham? Genesis chapter 12, just a few chapters before 41. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house. Friends, it was a costly business for him. He had to leave all those things behind. And friends, in our hearts, at any rate, we need to leave these things behind. Now, Joseph calls his son Manasseh. God has caused me to forget these things. And you say, I can't forget my wife. I can't forget my husband. They mean too much to me. My family is too dear. Friends, ask the Lord to give you a right set of priorities. Ask the Lord to deal with your emotions. Ask the Lord. It's not that you never want to see them again. But there has to be a separation, particularly when you're older. And some of you younger ones who are living in Christian homes, don't rely on the faith of your parents. Don't just follow what the Lord is telling them to do. You have to come to a place of faith yourself, and you have to find the Lord for yourself. And in some cases, it may be right that you say to your mum and dad, when you're older, I'm not saying you do it when you're younger, but when you're older, that you say, Mum, Dad, I've really prayed about this, and I actually feel the Lord is saying this is what I should do. I respect what you say, but I need to do what I feel the Lord is telling me to do. And it can be very painful for the mum and the dad. But friends, we have to learn to forget our father's house. It's not just family members. It can be other believers as well. Psalm 45 and verse 10 has got the most remarkable scripture. And I commend it to you for your further meditation and consideration. This is a psalm about a bridegroom and a bride. And the bridegroom says to the bride eventually, verse 10, hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline your ear. Forget your own people and your father's house. So shall the king greatly desire your beauty. Friends, this is speaking from the Lord to his future bride, the redeemed people of God. And he looks at you and he looks at me, and he's preparing us to be part of that bride. And he says, forget your own people. Forget your father's house. And friends, sometimes this can be quite difficult, because even other believers treat us very badly. They don't understand us. They reject us. There can be division. There can be hurt. There can be misunderstanding. And you can be sitting, licking your wounds forever and a day. I've done it. I know what I'm talking about. And the Lord had to bring me up short on one occasion. Friends, it's nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus went through. And it's my testimony that as you forget your own people, as you forget your father's house, the Lord will cause you to forget. The wound can be healed. You may not have the answer to your questions. You may be living with, I don't know why so-and-so treated me like that. Friends, the Lord says, forget your own people. Why does he say that? Forget your father's house. Forget even other believers. Forget your brothers and sisters in Christ. Friends, this is what Elisha had to do as well. When he was going for his preparatory walk for his ministry with Elijah, they used to come to various places, and there was wonderful fellowship there. They were all prophets. That's all it says. Sons of the prophets. And Elijah said to Elisha, Elisha, stay here. I'm paraphrasing this now. You'll have a great time with these prophets. The Lord's called you to prophet. You can be one of them. You may even lead them. You'll be such a blessing to them. Now just be with them. Take tea with them. Enjoy their company. Gilgal, Bethel, and Jericho. The three places where three times Elijah said to his servant, his apprentice, just stay here. And Elijah had to say to the sons of the prophets, when they said to him, do you know that the Lord is going to take Elijah away from you today? And I'm sorry, the scripture is not very polite. He says, yes, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Shut up. Don't distract me. My heart is set on going with Elijah. That's what he's saying. I'm going to forget you. You are unimportant in the grand scheme of things. It is more important that I follow Elijah. Friends, it is more important that we follow the Lord. There are many groups of Christians who got stuck in a rut and who are where they are and are not moving on, and they're having a wonderful time, but they're not going on. And if the Lord is calling you to move on, you need to follow him. The important thing is that you follow him. Why is this so important? Friends, because it says in verse 11 of Psalm 45, so the king shall greatly desire your beauty. There's something here I can't explain. In your being willing to forget, to leave some of these things behind, there is a beauty about you that the Lord greatly desires. So are you going to want to hold on to the past? Or are you going to want to move on with the Lord? Set your eyes on the Lord, and the Lord will greatly desire your beauty. Isn't that amazing? Your beauty. Because you have been given something by the Lord Jesus Christ. His beauty given to you. Friends, how does the Lord cause us to forget? Well, for Joseph, certainly. It was in part new circumstances, new relationships, new calling. There was a time of plenty. My friends, really what the principle that the Lord, I think, is saying to us is that in Christ, you and I are in a time of plenty. You have a responsibility to forget. God can cause you to forget, but Psalm 45 says you need to forget, so our will is involved. But we're in a time of plenty. That is to say, there is all the provision in the Lord Jesus Christ for your life. And what blessing! The Lord is saying, get your eyes on those things that are above. Reach out for the blessing. You have a new calling. You have a new inheritance. You have new relationships. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, if you're willing to forsake all these earthly relationships, there's not a man who's left any of these things behind who's not gained. Father, mother, brother, sisters, wives, the lot. You get so much more. You can never outgive God. Hallelujah. Now get your eyes on what he wants to give you. Such rewards, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Hallelujah. Joseph's second son was called Ephraim. The name follows on from the first. It is only as we allow the Lord to cause us to forget certain things that we then come into a place of fruitfulness. Now, Joseph says about Ephraim, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Is he saying that all fruitfulness has to come from affliction, as a result of affliction? No, I don't believe he is saying that. And so, friends, if you're not afflicted this morning, you can still bring forth fruit. And I rejoice with you if your life is wonderful. But what the Lord is saying is that even in the middle of affliction, or as a result of it, you can still be fruitful. That word affliction, I think it's worth just thinking a little bit more about it. It's a general word. The root of it means to look down. Well, you all know what that means, don't you? when you get depressed and you get your eyes off the law and you go, oh, life's terrible. And you look down. The word means depression or misery. And we're all tempted from time to time to look down and to be miserable. Instead of getting our eyes on the fact that at the Lord's right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Friends, it's not that the Lord is saying you're never going to have difficult circumstances. The Lord is saying that even in the middle of the difficult circumstances, even in the middle of the restriction, even in the middle of the distress, the Lord can enable you to look up and the Lord can give you fruitfulness. So it's just a sort of further thinking about this word toil, really. Maybe some of you are still in the middle of some hardship. Maybe perhaps not that so much, but you are in the middle of circumstances that are making you thoroughly depressed. Friends, can I encourage you? God wants to cause you to get your eyes off that and to see the fact that actually in the very place he's put you, you can be fruitful. God can cause you to forget and God can make you fruitful. So it's not freedom from bad circumstances, but it is freedom from letting those circumstances get you down. Praise the Lord. How does God cause us to be fruitful? Would you notice with both these things there is a principle here and there's a process. God forgets our sin just like that. You and I, God causes us to forget these things. Sometimes there's time involved and there's a process and we have to see the process through. How does God cause us to be fruitful? Well, again, the outworking of that may be different for perhaps each of us. But there are some general principles, aren't there? You can probably think of one straight away. John chapter 15 and verse 1. The Lord says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in you, the same brings forth much fruit. The key to being fruitful is to remain in the Lord. That's all that word abide means. It means to remain in, to continue in, to stay in. So you are in Christ, just continue there. What gets you out of Christ? Well, sometimes when we stumble, when we sin, wrong attitude or whatever, we're not walking with the Lord as we should, we then need to get that right with the Lord and we go back in Christ again. Sometimes we don't walk with the Lord as we should and we don't pray, we don't look at the scriptures. My friends, to remain in Christ, to abide in Christ, means that we need to develop that relationship with him. And as you do, you will be fruitful. And you may be in the toughest job. You may be working with the most difficult employer. You may be in the most difficult personal circumstances. And you may be saying, Lord, please get me out of this affliction. Well, eventually the Lord did do that for Joseph. But friends, the Lord can make you fruitful. And the Lord can cause those very circumstances to be the means by which you come to fruitfulness. I do hope this is getting through to our hearts. That is the burden, really, of what I want to bring. Joseph called these two sons by these names. God has caused me to forget my toil and my father's house, and God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. I don't know whether there's any of us here this morning that are being tempted to remember. We're looking back, we're looking in, we're looking down. The Lord says, look up, look forward. I can cause you to forget these things. I can give you so much more. And in the giving of so much more, I can cause you to bring forth such fruit. Friends, these names for Manasseh and Ephraim are prophetic for the nation of Israel as a whole. Prophetically, God was going to cause them to forget the affliction that was in Egypt, to forget the bondage that was there. God was going to bring them into an inheritance and God was going to give them such fruitfulness. And what God did all those years ago in the time of Moses and between Joseph and Moses, etc., and leading to the Exodus, etc., God is going to do and can do again even in our day. God has a way, will have a way, of removing the affliction, of removing the pain of being ostracized by the rest of the world. And God will make them fruitful, particularly at that day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the Mount of Olives and the veil will fall from their eyes. They will see their Messiah and they will go, in a sense, the gospel will go out from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, and people will take hold, the scripture says, of the skirt of a Jew and say, "Take me, I want to know more." Friends, if it's prophetic about Israel, it can be prophetic about you as well. God can cause you to forget, and God can cause you to be fruitful. May God help us. Let's pray, please.